Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bechoros Daf Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur will be beginning from the bottom of Daf Zayin Omid Beis. You'll notice a framed section that continues till Daf Ches Omid Aleph. Before we begin the Gemara, let us glance to the outside margin where one of the special features of our Gemara Markings Shas Ozer, the cornerstone of our Gemara Markings program, is the topic heading and structural note that appear as each new sugya arises. In this case, we have a nosei, a topic, and nivne, structural note, combined into one note. You'll notice in the outside margin at the bottom part of the page, a diamond is featured, and we have written inyonim hakshurim lepiryoin minim shonim. This Tanaic source will deal with issues in a broad sense that are related to the reproduction of different creatures, animals, and plants. So we begin our Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan. We are taught in the following Tanaic source, Dag Tomei Mashritz. Unkosher variety fish are live bearers. Dag Tor Matil Beitzim. Kosher variety fish lay eggs. Kol HaMoylid Meinik. V'chol hamatil beitzim malakeit. Those creatures that bear children, as opposed to laying eggs, they nurse. All creatures that lay eggs, malakeit means they gather food for their young when they hatch. Chutz mi'ataleif, with the exception of the ataleif. Now, in general, our practice in the recorded shiurim of Gemara Markings is to resist the temptation to translate plants and animals for the very simple reason that it will be hard for us to stand by translations of those items that we don't have a long-standing tradition on. If one is very curious and insistent upon knowing the translation of those kind of items, so we recommend looking into reliable works that deal with translations. But for our part, we're going to resist that. However, in this case, the ataleif, we're going to go out on an end and say that it is probably a bat. It certainly conforms to Rashi's description after Rashi presents a French word as his translation. The Rashi says, Doyme la'achbar, it's similar to a mouse, v'yesh lo k'nafayim, and it has wings. And the Brisa here says that even though the ataleif, the bat, lays eggs in producing its young, nevertheless, it does nurse its young. It's also important for us, as part of our Gemara Markings audio recordings, to offer a disclaimer, and that is that many items, many things pointed out in the Shas that have bearing on, we'll call it, phenomenon in nature. Many times the Chazal are reporting things with an intent to convey a deeper message, something other than that which we see based on empirical observation. So that it's very, very important to take that into consideration as we go on, in particularly in this source, with which purports to deal with natural phenomena, but in reality, the way things appear upon empirical observation, they may be divergent than that which is reported here in the Gemara. So it's in that light that we are mentioning one of several different possible analyses with regard to this situation, and that one of the prominent analyses is that the Chazal, the rabbinic tradition, as is featured in the Gemara, is not trying to describe natural phenomena as they are per se, but rather are trying to convey some type of hidden message that requires much, much further analysis and the study of holy works. So with that disclaimer in mind, we will continue. Although, as we continue, we're basically sticking to the translation of the words as they appear and not delving into the ultimate, deeper, and true meaning of what's being said. So the Gemara just reports in this Brisa that all egg layers they don't nurse, but rather they collect food for their young, with the exception of the Ataleif. Ha-dulfanin porin v'robin mi b'nei Adam. This word, dulfanin, sounds very much like the English dolphin. I will, as we go on in the Gemara, we'll see that it's we'll have a very, very big surprise awaiting us as to what dulfanin are, but it does say here that these sea creatures, known as dolphinin, can actually mate and reproduce with human beings. Now, you'll notice brackets appear in the Gemara, in this Tanaic source, and if you skim down the page within the Tanaic source, you will notice several sections that have brackets. This is a particularly short bracketed section, hence we don't have a bracket length indicator that accompanies this, but the next set of brackets you can see on the third line of this source is accompanied by a bracket length indicator. As you look to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, you will notice a dash dotted vertical line indicating the length of the bracketed section, and the same is true later in this source. On the inside margin, we have a note, and we've indicated sograyim elu v'haboyim achareyim, these brackets, and those that come after them b'mokor zeh in this Tanaic source, which is in a frame, misamnim kitei gemara, they designate, they point out sections of Gemara hamofiim be'emtza brisa that appear in the middle of this Tanaic source, this brisa source. So we continue with that in mind, where the Gemara interrupts and asks, "My dolphinin, what is this creature?" Omar Rav Yehuda b'nei Yoma. Now, I'm not going to translate that because we'll leave that to Rashi. We glance at Rashi. B'nei Yoma, Rashi says, Dogim yesh bayam, there are fish in the sea, shechetzyom tzuras adam v'chetzyom tzuras dog. Half of them have a human form, and the other half have a fish form to them. And Rashi then gives a French word for that. In English, we probably would term this mermaids. So these creatures, dolphinim, or mermaids, the source says, could actually mate with a human being, and if they were to mate with a human being, they would produce offspring. We continue in the source with the next diamond, the next observation. Kol shebeitzov mibachutz moilid mibifnim matil beitzim. All creatures whose male version has its Beitzim are the testicles, the male reproductive organ. If it's external, so that variety of creature will be a live bearer, will bear children. If Beitzov are bifnim, are internal, then matil Beitzim, then that creature, that the female equivalent of that creature after it mates, will then lay eggs. So after we see a bracketed section, and after this bracketed section, another point of observation is made. In the meantime, the Gemara interrupts here with a question. Eini, is this observation really so? V'ha'omar Shmuel, avos v'avos bar. Two types of birds. One is called an avos, the other an avos bar. Kilayim ze bozeh. It would be forbidden to mate these two together. even though they have very similar names, one is an avos and one is avos bar. Bar usually means a undomesticated or wild version. They would be they would be considered mixed breeding if one were to mate them. V'havinon bo, and we ask my time, why are they considered two different species? Omra baye, ze beitzov mibachutz, ze beitzov mibifnim. The male version of one of them has its male organs, specifically the beitz and the testicles, mibachutz outside, meaning external, and the other internal. V'travayu matile beitzim. And this is the question. We've dashed, underlined the main points here. We have, the source says both of them are egg layers. They're egg layers. We have a case of Beitzov Mibachutz, as we dashed, underlined, and here also Matile Beitzim. So that counters the point mentioned in the source. The source had mentioned that if it's Beitzov Mibachutz, you can notice the dash underlining just above where it said Mibachutz Moilid. Here you have Mibachutz Matil Beitzim. Elo. So we have to restate it. Kol Shezachruso Mibachutz Moilid Mibifnim Matil Beitzim. The more accurate distinction is as follows. If the we're not talking here about this testicle, but we're talking about the organ itself, the male organ itself, if that is external, so then it will moilid. If it's internal, then it will be matil beitzim. So the determining factor is the location or the position of the male organ itself, not the beitzim. Continuing in the source, kol shetashmisho bayom moilid bayom. Those type of creatures that practice mating, copulation during the day, they bear their children during the day. Balayla, if that variety of creature practices its mating at night, so then moilid balayla, it will bear children at night. Those type of animals or creatures that mate regardless of time of day, namely both day and night, their childbearing will be both day and night. Tashmisho bayoim, yoilid bayoim equals tarnagol. An example of an animal that has its relations during the day and bears its children during the day is a chicken. Balayla, yoyled balayla, atalef. The atalef creature is something that is the characteristic of night mating and night bearing. Tashmisho bein bayom bein balayla, yoyled bein bayom bein balayla, equals odom v'chol d'domi lay. This is true of a man and all others that are similar to man. The brackets appear again in this source. This is a longer section that's bracketed. You can see by using the bracket length indicator how long this section is. After it, you see another diamond with a new observation. In the meantime, the Gemara interrupts the source and asks, Lamai nafgamina, what practical bearing does this information have on halacha? Answer, Lucher of Mori, Braid of Kana. It has bearing for with regard to what he teaches. The Yomar of Mori, Braider of Kana. Bodak Bekino Shotarnagula Me'erav Yom Tov. If a person checked a chicken nest on Erev Yom Tov, namely the day before Yom Tov set in, Volo Motzobo Beitza, and found no eggs in the nest. So he did a daytime checking of a chicken nest. The day happened to be just before the onset of Yom Tov. Ulamachar hishkim umotza bo beitza. And the next day, he arose early. He arose before daybreak and found in this chicken nest an egg. Muteres bachilo b'Yom Tov. This egg will be mutter to eat on Yom Tov. In other words, it will not be considered a Beitza Shenolda B'Yom Tov, an egg that was laid on Yom Tov itself. There is a well-known halacha. In fact, it's the first Mishnah in Maseches Be'ah, Maseches Beitza, that features the issue of an egg laid on Yom Tov as being prohibited. That falls in the general realm of muktzah, something that wasn't prepared or wasn't available from before Yom Tov that comes around for the first time on Yom Tov is something that is prohibited. For without getting into all the different possible reasons for it, we'll simply relegate it to the realm of muktzah. In this case, what happened? He checked a chicken nest, and we know concerning chickens, they were described above under number 1 in the most recent diamonded section. The number 1 was the Tashmish Bayom Yolid Bayom, a chicken. What did we just describe? A chicken's nest was investigated, was checked by day, the daytime of Erev Yom Tov. No egg was found, but it was found during the night hours after the onset of Yom Tov. So being that chickens mate during the day and not at night, the laid egg here could not have been laid at night. The Gemara now asks, V'halo bodak, but he checked it, and he saw that by day there was no egg, so the egg must have been laid by night. Amar, we answer, lo bodak yofa, he must not have done a careful checking. The Gemara asks, V'halo bodak yofa, but he did a thorough checking and found no egg during the day, and yes, one at night. Well, Amar, I'll tell you like this. I'll tell you why this egg is mutter. I will say, Yotze Saruba V'chozra Havei. It's a case where the majority of the egg actually emerged from the chicken during the daytime of Erev Yom Tov, but it was then sucked back into the chicken's body. Rabbi Yochanan, based on his teaching, Rabbi Yochanan, based on Yotze Saruba Merev Yom Tov, an egg that emerges the majority of it during Erev Yom Tov, V'chozra, and is reabsorbed into the chicken, Muteres Lochlo B'Yom Tov. When it eventually comes out on Yom Tov day, during the Yom Tov hours, it is considered having been laid Erev Yom Tov. So, as far as the Dinim of Muktzah are concerned, it will not be a problem. So, we come to all of this as a result of having maintained or issued the observation that chickens, being that they mate during the day, they will lay only during the day. And hence the possibility of this egg having been laid for the first time during the nighttime hours of Yom Tov is totally excluded. The source continues, Kol shetashmisho viburo shoveh yoldin u megadlim ze mizeh. All those creatures that their nature of mating, their positioning while engaging in the mating procedure, their physical positions one relative to the other, if they are the same. For example, Rashi says a sheep mates from front faces the back, in other words, the front of the male faces the posterior of the female, and likewise is the case with a goat. So their mating positions are the same, sheep and goat, and they are iburo shave. Their gestation period, it takes 5 months from the point of actual mating till the emergence of the young one, 5 months for each one, sheep and goat. As a result of this, they could actually mate with one another. Could meaning there was a physical possibility of sheep mating with goat and producing an offspring, even though halacha would not allow someone to put them together, but in terms of natural possibilities, they could mate with one another, and Megadlin Zemize, one will nurse the other, the sheep and goat. Hakol Mishamshin Ponim Keneged, or if all creatures mate in this position where the male faces the posterior of the female. Chutz mishloisha, with the exception of three creatures, shemeshamshin ponim keneged ponim, where their mating is face to face. Ve'elohein dag, ve'odom ve'nochosh. Fish, man, and snakes. Now, the Gemara, after this source concludes, asks, what's unique about these three that sets them apart from the rest of the animal kingdom? Also, Rav Dimi Omar, when Rav Dimi came, he told us, Amri b'marova. Rav Dimi was a traveler. He traveled between Bavel and Eretz Yisrael. So it says, when he came to Bavel, he told us that Amri b'marova, they say in Eretz Yisrael, Hayo v'dibro imohem shchina. Since Dag, Odom, and Nochosh were spoken to by the Almighty, by the divine presence, they their mating pattern or method is unique in that it's ponim keneged ponim. And Rashi points out the case of the fish is mentioned in Sefer Yonah, Vayomer Hashem la dog. That's the pasuk that Rashi cites. Tona, gomol ochor keneged ochor. The brief Tanaic source tells us that a camel has a unique method of mating, and that's its back to back. Tonu Rabbonan. We have another Tanaic source. We also have a topic heading that accompanies this. Under our nosei, we have written Hakbala, means a parallel, Bizmane hitpatchus, the in time, development time, Bain Chayos Shonois Leperois Shonim. Different animals are paralleled with different fruits in their time of development. As we mentioned earlier, we're once again going to restate our disclaimer that in this, as well as many other sources, the Chazal are not committed to describing natural phenomena as we see them, but may very well be trying to communicate a deeper hidden message. So, with that in mind, we will continue, though, presenting the material on its superficial basis, indicating, as we just did, that that's not necessarily the true meaning of this material. The source begins, Tarnagolis le'esrim ve'echod yoim. A chick, from the point that the mating of rooster with chicken takes place, until the chick is developed, takes 21 days. Rashi says, "Les rechod yom la'achar shinis abro min hatarnagol shoya beitzasa ligomer ad echod v'esrim yom." So, from the point that it mates, not like we said before, but until the egg is complete. This is an example of a fertilized egg. Until that fertilized egg is complete, takes 21 days. The source says, Ukenegdo be'ilon luz. A parallel in the plant kingdom is the luz tree. That from the point that the blossoms appear until the fruit is complete, takes 21 days. This is the luz fruit. Kelev l'chamishim yom. A kelev, often translated as a dog, takes 50 days for it to develop from the point that it mates till its embryo is complete, is a 50-day period of time. Uchenegdoi be'ilon te'ino, and its parallel in the fruit world is a fig. Chosul l'chamishim ushnayim yom. A chosul, often translated as a cat, takes 52 days, uchenegdoi beilon tut, and its parallel in the fruit world is the tut. Chazir l'shishim yom, the pig, 60 days, kenegdo beilon tapuach. Its parallel in the realm of trees is the apple. It sort of brings a smile to one's face to think of the characteristic ham with apple in prepared together with it. But it's some type of parallel seems to exist right here in this source. Shu'ol v'chol mine shrotzim l'shisha chadoshim. the shual, often translated as a fox, and other types of shrutzim. Shrutzim are creatures that are very short-legged creatures. They take 6 months, uchenegdom be'ilon tvua, and the parallel of those in the realm of the plant kingdom are grains. It's interesting how the word ilon, which often means a tree, is used in describing a grain. Rashi makes a comment about this and says that this statement conforms to one of the opinions in Maseches Brochos regarding the tree from which Adam HaRishon ate. One of the opinions is that he ate from a chita, and there in the Torah, the Torah speaks about the eitz, hadas, and it's called, that particular opinion explains that the eitz, which is a tree, happen to be a grain. Continuing in our source, Behema Daka, Tahira, a small kosher variety animal, like a goat, L'chamisha Chadoshim, takes 5 months to develop, and Ukenegdon Be'ilon Geffen, the parallel in the tree fruit kingdom, is the grape. Behema Gasa, Tamea, in the realm of large animals, in a large unkosher variety animal, for example, a donkey, L'shneimosor chodesh, kenegdoi be'ilon dekel, and the parallel of the donkey development period, which we said was 12 months, would be the dekel, which is the tree that bears dates. Tamea, tahora, that is, Torah is a behemo gasa tahora, a large kosher variety animal, for example, a cow, letisha chadoshim, it's 9 months. That's the point, the development period. Uchenegdo be'ilon, the parallel in the fruit world is zayas, the olive. Hazeev v'hari v'adov v'anomer v'abardalus v'apil v'akoif v'akipuf. This list of creatures all are l'sholosh shonim. They take 3 months, 3 years. Uchenegdon be'ilon benois shuach, and the parallel in the fruit world are benois shuach. Benois shuach are in other places seen as a type of fig. But we're certainly going to resist translating here. You can see this reference to 3 years must have some type of deeper meaning than the superficial. Afa, l'shivim shana. There's a creature called Afa, and its development is over a course of 70 years. Uchenegde be'ilon choruv, and the parallel in the case of the tree is the choruv tree. Choruv ze mishas netiyosu achas gemar peroisof shivim shana. A choruv tree, from the point that it's planted until it will bear fruit, takes 70 years. Vime iburo sholosh shanim, and the amount of time from the point that the blossom appears. Rashi says, "Vimei iburo mishas haperach ad shas gemar peri," from the blossom until the fruit is ready, is a period of 3 years. Nochosh l'sheva shanim, the snake takes 7 years. L'oisurosh l'matzinu chover, and regarding that wicked one, the snake is described as the wicked one. We don't find a parallel. V'yesh omrim muchsosim. Some say it's the muchsosim. When we say no parallel, of course, in the plant world. So the yesh omrim says that there is a parallel to the snake, and that's the muchsosim, which Rashi says is a type of venos shuach, which we just saw above. This is, but it's not an actual benosho, it's a type, it's a variation of it, and it takes a long time. Minohani mili, from where do we know that a snake takes 7 years? 7 years is its gestation period. Omer Yudah Marav, Umotubo, there's another version, Mishum Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya. So Rav Yehuda is quoting Rav, and another version has quoting Rabbi Shua ben Hananiah, Shenemar, The pasuk says concerning the nachash. It says, "Arur ato mikol habehima umikol chayas asadeh." You are considered more cursed than all behemoths and all chayos. Im the Gemara asks, "Im mibehema niskalel mechayal lo kol shekein." If it's considered more cursed than a behema, and a behema itself has a relatively long gestation period, so if he's more cursed than that, so he's certainly more cursed mechaya lo kol shekein, certainly more cursed than the chaya, which has an even shorter gestation period. So if you're telling me that the snake has a longer period than the behema, then it goes without saying that it's longer than a chaya. Ella lomar. So the question remains, what's the role of this pasuk which says you are more cursed than the behemoths and more than the chayos, when we just pointed out that would seem to be obvious? Ella lomar loch. It teaches us kishem shenizkala la behemo mechaya echad l'shiva. Just like a behema is more cursed than a chaya by seven times. Umay niu. What? Where do you find this 1-7 relationship? Chamor mechosel. The chamor was 12 months, which is 365 days. And the chosel was a period of 52 days. So just like we find by behema being more cursed than a chaya by seven times, the chaya being the chasul, which is a mere 52 days, and the chamor happens to be 7 times 52, would get you to a number very close to 365. So that we see a 1-7 relationship between chaya and behema. Kach niskalel u mi behema achas l'shiva. So too, the nachash is more cursed than the behema by 7 times. So if we established that a behema is 1 year, which happens to be 7 times a chaya, and now a nachash is 7 times a behema, the havilei shev shani, that will then account for the 7 years. And that's what we were looking for. So that we have a from Rav Yehuda Omarav at the first wide line till this point, we would have an answer to our question. What was the source for the 7 years? However, the Gemara goes on now with alternative suggestions to what the pshat in Orur, the Orur Posuk, Orur Atom, Mikol Behema, or Mikol Chayas Asadeh. So we've also indicated this on the side of our Gemara under our topic heading, the Nose, we had written Menolon Diburo Shel Nochosh Zayin Sham. From where do we know that the development period, the gestation period of a snake is 7 years? And then the Mivneh, under that note, we featured a diamond, and it surrounds the word Emo, and this happens, of course, again. Hatzaois Chilufios L'tshuva Shenitan L'sheila Hanal. These are alternative hesberim, or explanations, alternative to the answer that we gave before. In other words, we're going to be looking at the pasuk of Or Atum Mikol Behemah Kol Chayas Asadeh through, we'll say, a different perspective or different eyeglasses, and then we will be in need to find a source for the snake 7 year business. So the Gemara asks, Emo, why not say as follows? Regarding the Pasuk and the analysis, say, Kishem sheniskalu lo chayo mi behemo achas l'shalosh. If the Pasuk itself is indicating that the snake will be more cursed than either one of these things, the behemo and the chayo, maybe the intention is to understand it that just like a chaya is more cursed than a behema, in a 1-3 ratio, umay nihu, what is the chaya that this source has in mind? Ari, a lion, me chamor, a lion is 3 years, chamor is 1 year. So just like a behema is more cursed, or the chaya, the undomesticated, is more cursed than the behema, the domesticated. And that you can see in the relationship between the lion with the donkey. The lion is a 3-year development, as opposed to the donkey, which is a 1-year development. So there's a 1-to-3 ratio. Kach niskalal hu mechayo achas l'shol. So too, the nochosh is a 3-time more cursed than the chaya. And the havilei, if you say that, davilei teisha shonim, because it'll come out then to 9 years. If the chaya we suggested would be the chamor, let us restate that, because right now we're working with an opposite suggestion. Just like a chaya is more cursed than the behemoth, namely an ari is 3 years, that's a chaya, which is 3 years, which is 3 times more than the chamor, which was 1 year. So too, the nochash will be more cursed by 3 times, leading us to 9 years. So the Gemara answers why we don't accept this approach. Is mi ksiv mikol hachayo mikol habehema? Does it say it in that order? No. Rather, it says mikol habehema umikol hachayo ksiv, which means orur ato mikol habehema sheniskalalo mechayo. We're looking for a case where we can say it's more cursed than the behema, which itself is more cursed than the chaya. And that was the case in the way we presented this initially. The chamor is an example of a behema, and that's mikol behema, which is, and the chamor was more than the chasul, which was a chaya. The Gemara asks, the ema, once again, a challenge to the issue of the conclusion we reached of 7 years for the nochash, by saying the pasuk of our atam mikol behema mikol chaya, as we set up with the chamor and the chosul. Let's say like this: v'yema kishem shniskal behema chaya echad l'shalosh. Just like a behema is more cursed than a chaya in a 3-to-1 ratio. Umay nihu eiz mechosul. The eiz is a behema which takes 5 months, and it's more cursed than the chaya, the chosul, which takes 52 days. Kach niskalal hu mi behema echad l'shalosh. So to the nochosh will be more cursed than the behema of in a 3-to-1 relationship. And the result of that would be, if we're going to say that the behema was 5 months, so this would be 15 months. Davilei chamesar yarchi. 15 months. So where do you see from all of this that a nochosh takes 7 years? Iboy esema, one approach is mikol habehema ksiv. The Rashi says 3 lines from the very top of the page, Iboy esema mikol habehema, demashem mikol habehema hamukulolis yoser, from the most cursed behema. And of that selection, we chose, or we arrive at the chamor. Iboy seimo klola hu klola shadi iluya. We're featuring a curse of the nochash. The nochash is being cursed. So, being that's the spirit of things, we're trying to throw the book at him, so to speak, that go all the way with curses. And if that be the case, we come up with the 7-to-1 relationship, where the behema, our starting point was the most cursed behema, so to speak, in terms of the length of time, and that was the chamor, and that we found to be 7 times more in its development period, which is the curse that we're talking about, which happens to be 7 times more than the chasul. So too, the nochash will be 7 times more than the behemoth. and the behemoth being 1 year, so the nochash 7 years. At this point, we are about to embark on a very famous agadic section of Gemara that we simply entitled Sabi Debei Atuna, the elders or the sages of Atuna. Atuna may be a reference to Athens or the Greek culture, the wise Greek scholars. And we will see on this Omid of Gemara a confrontation between one of our greatest sages, Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya, and these wise men of the Gentile world. Omar le Caesar, Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya. Caesar, the Caesar, the Roman ruler, asked or said to Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya, "Nochash lekama me'aber u'moylid." How long does it take for a nochash to develop, in other words, become impregnated, and the gestation period that it follows? Amar Leh L'Shev Shana, he says, Rabbi Yeshua answers, it takes 7 years. So the Kesar asks, V'hasabi debe atuna, arbeinu v'oilid l'klas. The sages or the wise men of Atuna, which is, we said, the name of a place, they mated a snake couple, and it bore its child after 3 years. So Rabbi Yeshua says back, Hano me'abri havu me'ekor dalet shonin. The snake that they used in their experiment was actually a snake that had already been impregnated 4 years earlier. So they, when they did their experiment, they were dealing with a snake that had already been pregnant for 4 years, and their snake bore offspring 3 years later, giving you a total of 7 years, just like I said. So the Kesar asks, how can you say that the snake they used was already pregnant? V'ha'ka mishamshi shemushi. But the snake engaged in mating, in adjoining with its with the opposite gender. And the assumption here is, as is fairly well known in the animal kingdom, that once an animal becomes pregnant, it no longer will engage in the act of mating. Well, Rav Shua answers, Inhunami mishamshi ka'odam. The nochosh is like man in the sense that just like a man, a human being, after the female is pregnant, she still will engage in this act of intimacy. So too, though it was already pregnant for 4 years, that is not reason enough for it not to engage in intimacy. The Kesar asks, but still, how can you argue with them? V'ho'chachimi inhu. But they're smart, they're wise. And if they said that it takes 3 years, they must have delved into the matter at its depths and reached this conclusion. So Rabbi Shua says back, Anan chachiminon minayu. Well, we are wiser than they. So the Kesar says, I chachmisu, if you're so smart and intellectually more advanced than they are, zeal zachinhu, go and defeat them intellectually, the isinu li, and then bring them to me. Omar le, so Rabbi Yeshua says, al kamahavu, how many are there? Answer, shisin gavri, there are 60 men, 60 wise men that constitute this Greek academy of elders. Omar le, so Rabbi Yeshua says, okay, you say there's 60 of them. Ovid li svinta, deis ba shisin bati. I would like you to prepare for me a boat that has 60 cabins. V'chol beisa shodi ba shisin bistarki. And in each cabin, set up 60 bistarki, chairs. Some translate this word as cushions, but Rashi specifically uses the word chairs. So in each cabin, each one of these 60 cabins, there will be 60 chairs. Avadlay, so the Kesar prepared that for Rabbi Yeshua. Kimota lahasim, when he arrived there at the Atuna, Arul Bay Tabcha, he Rabbi Yeshua went into a butcher shop. Ashkechel Gavro, he met up with the man to call Ovid Chisa, that was sectioning, dismembering animals into their different cuts. Amale Reshach Lizvuni. So Rabbi Shua says, the word Reshach is a head. Now, superficially, it would sound like to the store owner, you have a customer coming in and asking for a head, an animal head. But the translation of the word, and here the translation is very important, he says, Reshach means your head. Is it for sale? So Amalei in. So he says, oh, you're asking for a head? Yeah, I can sell you a head. Amalei b'kama. So the Rabbi Shua asks, how much will it cost? Amalei b'palga d'zuza. It costs you a half a zuz, zuz being a type of coin. Yohav lei. So he paid the money. Lesof, now, as we go on in the Gemara, there's a girsa. You can see where the star is found. The star here is a printer's star directing you to the outside margin. And we've underlined the section that we want to read into the Gemara. So after hearing that it cost a half a zuz, so he gave him the money. Lesof, omale, havli, reshach. So the Rabbi Yeshua, after having paid, said, well, give me your head. Yoav lechad resha dechiyusa. So the store owner gave him one of the animal heads. Amalei, Rabbi Yeshua says, anol resha dechiyusa amri loch. Did I ask for an animal head? Anol reshoch amri loch. I said, I want your head. I came in and I said specifically, reshoch is your head for sale. Continuing back in the Gemara, Omar Lei, now here the Omar Lei, the last speaker was Rabbi Shua ben Hanania. Here he continues speaking, and he says, you'll notice we're in the Gemara after the parentheses section, in the middle of the line, Omar Lei, e boyes de ishbekach, if you want me to leave you alone, after all, I have a claim against you. I came in and asked how much will your head cost? I gave you money, and you didn't give me your head. So he says, if you want me to leave you alone, then Sagi, I want you to start walking. Walk out of here. Walk in front of me. Achvi li pischa de bay atun. I want you to show me the entrance to this Greek academy. Omar le mistafina. The butcher says, I'm afraid. The chol de machvi luhu katli le. This apparently was a secret institute, a very secretive institute, so much so that anyone who would machvi, would point out its location, they would eliminate, they would kill such an offender. Amalei, so Rabbi Shua says, listen, I have a plan. And according to my plan, you're not going to actually point it out to me, but I will be able to figure where it is based on the following. So he says, Rabbi Shua says, Dori kricha dekanya, carry a bundle of reeds, v'chi motis lahasam, and when you get to the location where the secret academy is located, zokfo kemandiko masbach, simply stand up the bundle of reeds in a way like someone who wants to simply take a little rest after carrying a bundle for a distance. So butcher felt that was a safe plan, and he did that. Ozal Ashkach, Rabbi Shua went and found the Ravnoi Migavoi and Ravnoi Mibaroi. There were Ravnoi, the Rabbeinu Gershom says, guards from within and guards standing outside. De'i Chazu Kara Da'ila, if the wise men would see a footprint entering, so Katli Luhu Lebaroi, they would kill the guards that stood outside. Apparently they were lax in their role, allowing someone to enter. So after seeing a footprint on the ground, on the threshold of this academy, seemingly walking in, so they would hold the guards on the outside responsible and execute them. Udenafka, katlilu l'gavoy. As far as this academy is concerned, it's a type of place that no one is supposed to enter and no one is supposed to leave. So if they saw a footprint that was in the direction of exit, they would hold the inner guards responsible and execute them. So, you know what Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya did? Afcho l'sandalei, he flipped his shoe around. In other words, even though he was walking in, we'll say, he flipped his shoe around in such a way that it would make a print, a footprint, facing outside, namely as if one were walking outside. So that's what Afcho l'sandalei, he flipped his shoe around and made a footmark as if it were someone walking out. So katli lehu l'gavoy. The sages, these elders, saw to it that the inner guard would be executed. Afcho l'sandalei, the Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya then flipped his shoe back into its normal position, as if it were walking, as if he were walking in. And katlinu l'kulu, the elders killed all the guards, including those standing outside as well. Ozal Ashkach Yenuki Mileel Savi Miletach. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya was able to, being that the guards were now all executed, he was able to slip in there, and he noticed that the younger group of these sages, of these wise men, were sitting on an upper tier, and Savi Miletachas, and the elder ones were sitting lower down. Omar. Now, Rabbi Yeshua finds himself facing this this two-tiered or multiple-tiered setup of wise men, and he feels himself in a quandary. He says, "I yahivno shalmo lahani katni lihani." If I give my first word of greeting, my words of shalom aleichem, my first words of greeting to one group, so the other group will kill me, being that I was acting out of through incorrect etiquette. Savri anan adifinon. They're figuring that we are better, and here we're going to be using the girsa, the version found in the Bach in the upper corner of the page. Diasvinon liel. Well, we're sitting higher up. The inu l'tachas, and the others are sitting lower down. So, if he were not to give his words of greeting to the upper people first, they would feel slighted, and thereby threaten the perpetrator. The note of the Bach continues: v'i yahivna lahani katli lihani. And if I greet these first, the others will kill me. Savri anan adifinon danan kashinon. So if I give my words of greeting to the people sitting on the upper tier first, so the lower tier will be offended based on the claim that they are older and should be greeted first. So the Gemara that we pick up with is on this next line where Savri Anan, where there's a little gimel in parentheses. Anana defino de anan kashinon fe vinu dardiki. Well, as we explained before, that if the greeting are given to the upper guys first, so the lower ones will feel slighted, saying that they are older and the upper ones are youthful. Therefore, we should be greeted first. So, what did Rav Yeshua ben Hananya do? Omar shalmo lechu. He said, greetings unto all of you. Amrule, my avinitech. They asked him, what are you doing here? Amrulehu, chachimo diudoy ano. I am a wise man of the Jewish people. Bo'ino lemigmar chokhma seminacha. I've come here to learn wisdom from you. Well, ihochi niboyaloch. If that be the case, if you're a wise man from the Jews, so we want to pose a question to you. Amalahu l'chayis. Rabbi Yeshua says, fine, that's okay. Izachisuli, if you defeat me in this challenge. In other words, they're going to pose a question that they feel that he will not be able to answer. And if that be the case, in other words, if you defeat me, called the Ba'isu Avidu Bi, then whatever you want, you can do to me. However, Ve'i Zachina Bechu, if I outwit you, then Ichlu Namo Gaboy Bisfinto, then my request is, or my part of the deal is, you'll come to have bread with me on the boat. In other words, well, you'll join me for a meal. Amrulei, so the Atuna wise men said. Now, by way of markings, in this Gemara, you'll notice there are underlining that takes place. The underlining represents the beginning of each question or challenge that is posed. So here they said to him, Hahu Gavra the Azil Uboy Itza. A man went to find his wife, find a mate. Itza is find a woman, meaning his wife. A person who wants to get married, Vilo Yohavu Lay. And the family that he requests their daughter, they don't give her to him. My chazi lay the ozil hecha de madlu mine. Would it make sense for someone like that to go to a family that is even more of higher, let's say, social status, more miuchas, of higher status than the people that rejected this individual? So would it make sense? In other words, if you're rejected by a lower class, would it make sense to entreat a higher class? So Rabbi Yeshua responds, but he acts out his response. Shokal sichsa, he took a peg, dotsa letato, and he tried to wedge it into a wall at a low point on the wall, low oil, but it was not. It didn't enter. It didn't penetrate. Le'eloi o'al. He took the same peg and wedged it in on a higher point on the wall, and it did enter. Omar. So Rabbi Shua explains. Hai nami misrimi bas mazli. This person also simply didn't find the right one. That's called the bas mazli. The one of the same mazel, sometimes associated with it in astrology terms. But he didn't find the same bas mazle, and hence the lower girl was simply not meant for him, and he was successful in finding her, even though she was an upper class woman. That was his designed mate. So the fact that someone is rejected from a lower class is not reason enough for them to not to pursue a girl from a higher class. Another challenge. Gavra the Oizif Vitorov. A person who, let us say, laid out money on a business venture. He loaned money to someone to invest and they would split the profits. And in order to collect, he'd have to go through a great struggle. In other words, this phrase, the Oizif Vitorov, means his ability to collect the money after the investments were made was done only with great difficulty. My Chaza the Hadar Oizif, would it make sense for a person to make an investment in another deal, in a subsequent deal? In other words, after experiencing such difficulties with the first deal, does it make sense to go on with another deal? Omar Luhu. So Rabbi Shua answers, Gavra Ozal Agma. Imagine a man who went to a marsh. Kotal Kamotuna. He cut his first bundle of reeds. Velo Motsi Bay. And he wasn't able to carry them. Hodar Kotal Monach Iluya. He will go and cut more. In other words, he wouldn't rule out cutting more. Adis Rami Inish Madli Lay. Figuring that someone's going to come along and help him with it, help him pick it up. So that, what's the point here? If you see that you're having difficulty with an initial investment, it doesn't mean that you should stop right there, but rather it's If you were unsuccessful with the first one, continue until you actually meet up with success. The Rashi explains this in the wide lines under the Gemara. There's a dashed wide line, fourth wide line, where it says Vahainami Hoyol Vehifsid Ba'amon Rishona Choser Umamin Lacherim. Even though he had difficulty with the first investor, he still goes and trusts others. Ad Shemizdaveg Lo LaAdam Ne'emon Umistaker Bo, until he meets up with someone that he can finally rely on, who will make investments and thereby profit with him. The Gemara itself continues. Amru Le, the Chachme Atuna, said to Rabbi Yeshua, Emo lon mili de. Now here there's a Girsa de Chadivi or de Badoi, which loosely translated, they say, we want you to say something that is of a preposterous nature. Omar Lahu, so he says as follows, Haveahu Kudnisa, there was a mule, Dialida, that bore an offspring. Vavitoli Le Piska, and there was around its neck a note, the Kosabe, written therein, the Masik Bebe Abo Mea Alfazuzi. There is a claim against father's estate of 100,000 zuz. Amru Le, so the Chachme Atuna said to Rabbi Shua, after he just described this mule that gave birth to an offspring with a note on its neck, they said, but Mikunisa Miyolda, does a mule give birth? It's known that a mule, which is an animal born from the union of a donkey and a horse, that animal is essentially sterile. The product, the mule, is, so it can't have children. Omar Lahu, Hey Niu Mili Debedi. Well, this is exactly what you asked for. You asked for Divrei Ruach, empty tails. So I just gave you one. They ask Milcha Kisaria, salt, when it becomes soury or unsavory. B'mai Malchila, how is one to preserve it? How does one to preserve salt from becoming sour? Amar Lahu, Basilta de Kunisa, by using the placenta or the afterbirth of a mule. So they ask, Umiko Silta de Kunisa, but does a mule, first of all, we just said a mule is a sterile animal, it doesn't give birth. So does a mule have a silta, have afterbirth? So he says back to them, but Umilcha mi sorry? Does salt go sour? So he points out that what they asked him itself was ridiculous. Boni lon beisa ba'avira d'alma. A new request of theirs is, build us a house in midair. Omar shem tola ben rikilara. So Rabbi Shua ben Chani, he enunciated the ineffable name of the Almighty, and with that, we'll say, rules of nature can be changed or can be bent, and he suspended himself in midair between heaven and earth. So now you've got this image of Rabbi Shua ben Chananya suspended in midair. Omar Lu, and he says, oh, you wanted me to make for you a suspended building, so Asiku li livni vitina, bring to me bricks and mortar. You'll notice there's a version presented in the Bach. So we look once again to the upper corner of the page, the Vav letter, and we see there, Asiku li livni vitina mehasam, bring to me bricks and mortar from over there. Amri, and they who were on the ground, said to Rabbi Shua, and suspended in midair, he says, Umi ika de motzi la suki hasam, how is it possible to get up to where you are? So, Umi ika de motzi limivni besa ben shmaya le'ara. So, just like you're claiming it's impossible to get to me, but what you requested itself was impossible, to build a house in midair. The Chachmei Atuna continue, and we go back into the Gemara. They ask him, "Mitsiose de almo hecho, where is the middle of the world?" Zokfal esboi amalu hacha. It's right over here. Zokfal esboi means he raised his finger and pointed and said, "It's right here." Amrulei, so they asked him, "Umi yemar, who says?" Amar lahu, so he said back to them, "Aisu ashli umashlu, bring ropes and start measuring." They ask, they say to him, "Islon bira bedabra, we have a pit in the field. Ailo lamasa, would you kindly bring the pit into town?" Amar lahu, so Rabbi Shua ben Chanan says to the Atuna individuals, "Afshilu li chavli mipori va'aile. I want you to make for me ropes made of pori, of bran, and I will use those ropes to haul in your pit." Now, of course, their request was ridiculous. You can't bring a pit into town, and hence his request of them to prepare ropes made of bran was equally ridiculous. They continue posing a challenge here. Bishum Chanan Islan Rechayo Disvir. We have a broken or a cracked grindstone. Chayte. We want you to sew it up. The Bach adds in the Zion letter, Shokal Pisco Mina Shora Shodaluhu. The Gemara text reads, "Omar krocholi mine gardi v'chayte." The Gemara text itself suggests that he, Rabbi Shua, said after they requested him to sew up the cracked grindstone, he says, "Okay, pull out threads from the stone, as is common with people who sew clothing. People will pull unnecessary threads from the article of clothing and use that for the sewing or as the sewing material." So he says to them, "You want me to sew up the grindstone, so pull out threads from the grindstone that I can use for sewing it up." They ask, or they point out, Mishra de Sakini, a row of knives. In other words, a row of knives growing from the ground. B'mai katli lei. How do you harvest a row of knives? So he says, B'karna de chamra, with the horn of a donkey. So they ask, Umi iko karna de chamra, does a donkey have horns? So he says back to them, Umi iko mashra de sakini, but is there such a thing as a row of knives growing from the ground? Obviously no. Aisu lei tre bei. They presented two eggs to Rabbi Shua ben Chanan. Amrulei, they asked him, "Hey dezagsa uchmasi, vehey dezagsa chivrasi. Which egg comes from the black chicken, and which one comes from the white chicken?" Aisi lahu, well, he brought to them, Aisu lahu, ihu, he himself brought to them, tre givini, two cheeses. Omaluhu, he asks them, "Hey de'iza uchmasi, which cheese comes from the black goat? The hey de'iza chivrasi, which comes from the white goat?" So just like you won't be able to answer my question about the origin of the cheese, so too your question with regard to the origin of the eggs is ridiculous. Urutsutsa demis bebeyase, a chick that dies before it hatches. Mehecha nafik ruche, from where, being that it's in an enclosed egg, from where does its spirit exit? So Rabbi Shua answers them, Mehecha te'ol nafak. It from the same place that it entered, it exits. They requested of him, Achvi lon mona, show us an article, an item, the lo shavi chavilei, that is not worth the damage that it causes. Aisu budya pashtua. They Rabbi Yeshua ordered mats to be brought, and the mat was opened, pashtuas opened, unraveled, lohava ayil betara, and it couldn't be brought in. It was too wide to enter the doorway. Amalahu, so Rabbi Yeshua said, Aisu mora sisrua, bring a mora as a type of implement, and smash open the doorway. So and by widening the doorway, you'll now be able to bring the mat through. So, hainu mona de lo shavu chavilei, the damaged doorway was a greater loss in value than the value of the entire mat itself. At this point, it appears that Rabbi Yeshua stood up to all the challenges and, in a sense, he defeated them, he answered them, he rebuffed each one of their challenges. Aisinu b'sfinta, he brought them now to the boat, as was agreed upon initially. Kochad v'chad ki chozi shisin b'staki, each one, as they entered their cabin, their respective cabins, ki chozi shisin b'staki, when they saw the 60 chairs, Omar, he figured, the wise man that entered the cabin figured, kulu chavroi lahocha osu, oh, I'm not going to be alone, I'm going to be with all of the others. As, of course, this was a ploy to keep them off guard, each one entering a cabin feeling that he's going to be in the company of all his other friends. Omar le l'sapuna, the Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya says to the captain, shori svintoch, set sail. Bahadi de ka'osu, shokol afro me'afrayu. As they were about to depart, Rabbi Yeshua took some dirt from that location, from, we'll say, from Atuna. The Gemara continues at the top of Daf Tes, ki moti levei bli, when they were sailing on the high seas, they came to a point that's called bay, a point in water, which is might be termed, for lack of better explanation, something like a whirlpool. Rashi says in his explanation at the top, lebei bli, mayim shebo kianus, water in the ocean, sheboim kol meimo shebo olam. It absorbs all other waters, shenoiflim bo, that any water that enters it, it's sucked in there, umevian oisum ad tahoim, and the water, sucking in effect draws the water down to the depths, upotus oisun, and then cast them out somewhere else. V'hainu dichtiv, it's based on this, the pasuk says, v'ayom einenu molei, that the sea is never full. In other words, you have in the sea places that the water is being absorbed and then cast out or placed somewhere else. So, when they got to this type of place in the sea, moloi kuza demaya mibebli, he filled up a cup of water from that spot. Kad osu, when they finally arrived at shore, ukminu kami kesar, he stood them up in front of the Caesar. After all, it was the Caesar that asked to have them brought to him. Chazinu dahavum ani, he saw that they looked lowly, they were troubled and desperate. Omalei hani lavninu, so the Caesar says to Rabbi Shimon, these aren't the guys. Whereas I heard about the famous wise men of Atuna, not these ragged-looking individuals. Well, shokal ma'afrayu, he took some Atuna dirt, shoda iluyo, akshilap imaka, he sprinkled it on them, and that their local dirt, so to speak, aroused them, and they then were confronted the Caesar. Omar lay. So the Caesar said, "Call the boys of it behu." So he gave the green light, so to speak, to Rabbi Yeshua and says, "Whatever you want to do with them, do with them." I see hano maya da I see mi bay bli. So Rabbi Yeshua took out this water that he had scooped up from the bay bli. Shadinu betigda. He poured the water into a vessel. Omar lehu, and he instructed the chachme atuna, malyuha lehu, veizilu lehu. I want you to fill up this basin that has just a little bit of bay bli water in it. You start pouring water in here. Once it's filled, then go. Molu v'shadu bay kamoi kamoi ubola luhu. So they started filling up and they filling water into this basin, and every amount, every pail of water they poured in got absorbed into this special bay bli water, and basically they were struggling, straining themselves pail after pail after pail, and this vessel never got filled up. Ad shomet kisfayu, until their shoulders fell off. Ubolu luhu v'ozel, and they just fell apart, so to speak. Rashi says, bolu, they wore out the hocheli bodon and went to destruction. In other words, they were in the middle of trying to accomplish basically an impossible task, and in their trials they simply were unable to do it and fell apart. As you can imagine, there are hints and we'll call remozim, riddles and hints and hidden messages in this story that, as we said at the outset and we're saying again now for who knows how many times, that there are deeper meanings to all of these things. But in the context of our Gemara markings shir, we're not going to delve into them, but our sincere hope is that all of your intellectual appetites have been whetted and you will pursue the true meaning of this piece of Gemara on another occasion. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.